This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott! I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir!
Is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, it's Monday. It's a football Monday, but yeah, yes, there's going to be a football Tuesday. I can't keep up. We hope there's actually going to be a finish to this season with what's going on with some of these teams and how COVID is starting to become a bigger issue for the NFL and all that other stuff. The NBA training camp starts tomorrow. What? Do I sound flustered? Like, do we have a lot of stuff happening? All is well. All is well.
I'll take it. And the Mets may be trying to get a trade for Snell. I don't know if I like all those picks that they're willing to give up, though. I don't know if I
the players
I
that were mentioned in that trade, huh? Like, yeah, all the different names there.
Just spend the money for Trevor Bauer if that's the case.
You think so, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder if,
that's what
we said. Blake Snell, does he seem like a guy? We've gotten to know him a little bit. Is he a New York kind of media kind of guy?
He can be.
We know he can pitch. There's no doubt he can pitch, but you know, it's different in New York, man. Like, it's different. You take them out here. It's different. And he's a bit of a rabbit ears kind of guy. He does like to run his mouth some.
Yeah, but it's not that many rabbit ears when it comes to the Mets. The people
that will be. No, Sonny. The Mets are better get ready because they're becoming the it team again with their owner that he's terrific when it comes to communication with fans. He's a lot of fun. He's out there. You know how it is, right?
But there's no way.
Everybody loves them.
It is no way, Alan, that I'm giving away all the assets that they want for Blake Snell. And I'm taking his salary. No, I'd rather just go Trevor Bauer and again call it a day. You know, you talk about Trevor Bauer, you talk about Syndergaard, you talk about DeGrom, you talk about Stroman. You know, now you just got to put, now you can put Mats and Lugo into the bullpen and then.
I hope
Betances can come back and go out and get another.
I don't know
closer.
If Mats will be part of the future, but I get what you're saying.
Go get a closer. But yeah, I'm not giving up assets because part of what makes
this
team.
Can't Seth Lugo be your closer? In today's world, do we need a guy who, we don't need somebody that throws fire as your closer.
Right.
It's changing now. Lugo's proven to be a guy that's reliable, ice water. He doesn't get nervous. He's just not the typical, 100-mile-an-hour, blow-you-away kind of closer. But I think those guys are going away, too.
Yeah, but my problem is he can't go back-to-back days. That's the thing. He needs rest. So he can't be a closer because he's not good at coming back-to-back. So, I mean, if you got to go out and you go out and you get you a closer. But listen, we're going to start.
Man, I was going to say, how the hell are we starting here on the Mets?
I don't know.
But it's an interesting story, there's no doubt. But
I got to tell him how to get to us, though. I didn't even tell him how to get to us.
We didn't even give out the number yet.
I tell you, this is how
we
you
already
get
got people
us.
On hold, and we didn't even get
1-800-919-3776 is how you get on the lines. Get on the lines early and often. We're going to have Rex Ryan at 12 o'clock, but get on the lines early. And if you can't get us there, get us on the tweet at Bart and Han. And if you can't get us on the tweet, get us on Instagram. Get us on the gram now, man. Listen, don't be pointing no pictures of Nate Robinson going night-night. I don't want to see no memes.
Why did he wear blue and orange?
To get in the ring.
Why is he wearing
blue and orange? Right. Once again, to all the sunlight.
Exactly.
What happens is now the Knicks take another L because he had Knicks shoes on.
They have nothing to do with that.
Why could he get knocked out of some Chicago Bulls jorts? Why you got to come in there and put the orange
in Celtics? Why couldn't he wear green? Damn it.
Exactly, man.
Come on,
lucky. Maybe green would have been a little luckier for him. But anyway, if you can't get us there, Bill, tell him what else they can get us at. Oh, Bill's taking a day off.
So Bill, you
beat the Cardinals, and all of a sudden, I told you. Pay attention to what I'm saying out there.
You think about it. J-Dub said this in the pregame meeting, and it's like he said it, and it caught my attention. Maybe we'll call our friend Gambo and ask him how he feels about life. If not for a chuck and duck, spectacular catch.
Yes.
By DeAndre Hopkins. Spectacular catch.
One in a million.
They would have. Is it four in a row they would have lost?
Five in a row.
They would have lost. That's five. I thought they've lost three of the last four, if I'm not mistaken. But whatever it is, don't matter.
It would have been a lot.
That would they would have been on a losing streak, and maybe that narrative would have flipped. So we'll see if Bart ends up being right.
Let's talk about I'm usually I always am. I mean, that's what they call me, Bart Diamonds, because I see it before. But you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to pat myself on the back.
You say it early. People forget. Then they say it, and then they claim it. That's usually
exactly.
how that works.
But I tell you what, let's talk about the talk of the town. Let's talk about them New York football Giants. And listen, I don't want to hear about the record. Let's talk about our division-leading team that has an opportunity to hang a banner up there. This is going to be the first time that somebody hangs a banner and don't put the record up there. They just go hang the banner.
I'll tell you what.
Say, damn it, we won it.
We're going to do something unprecedented because we're going to take a call real early because I have to because I see a name on the call screen. And I'm like, where's she been? And you know who I'm talking about. But before I take the call, I want to give you a useless stat. Can I give you a useless stat?
Yeah,
useless stat. Stats. This is why Anthony will be hate watching Monday Night Football tonight. And Anthony, we know, is trying to act like he doesn't care.
He cares.
He's got emotional abandonment going on with his football team. But there's a part of him that's almost like, he's like kind of like, you know, when you've been away and now you're like, you see her like walk by for the first time in a while, you're like, damn.
She's like, damn, she's been working out. She's been working out since she broke up with you.
Like, hang on a second, right? So the Giants tonight. If the Eagles lose to Seattle, and Bart, as an expert in football, could the Eagles lose to Seattle tonight?
I think it's an outsider's chance.
An outside chance?
That's me being sarcastic. That's tongue-in-cheek.
If the Eagles lose tonight, the Giants, according to Football Power Index, so you can see, Bart already just took off his sweater. He's all fired up now. The Giants would have a 40% chance to win the division, according to FPI. And that would represent the best chance of all the teams in the division to win it. How excited are you right now? How excited is Tessa from West Caldwell right now about this? Come on, Tess. First of all, happy belated Thanksgiving. And where the hell you been?
Listen, guys, I know I had to have emergency knee surgery. I've been KO'd. I've been asleep during y'all show. But I did finally get a chance to call a Michael K show, but you know I shouted y'all out and said that because I know you'd be listening, Alan. So I was like, I'm recovering from knee surgery. I was asleep, so I couldn't call Alan and Bart, so I'm going to call y'all. But
was it meniscus?
It's been crazy the past.
Yeah, what happened to your knee?
Was it ACL or meniscus?
It was a meniscus. It was too many tears in there, and it was just emergency.
Did they take it out?
The doctor literally. Yeah, he had to take it out. He was just like, listen, your knee's going to lock on you.
No,
and you're going to have to go to emergency room, and I know you don't want to do that during COVID. So let's go to this small surgery center, and let's handle this. And I was just like, fine.
You good now? You good, though? You feeling all right?
Yeah, I'm still laid up a little bit, but I'm walking, doing PT, and, you know, I hurt myself watching the games the past 2 weeks, like kicking in the air. It was just crazy. I was like making myself worse, but I miss you guys so much. I appreciate it, Alan, last week. You know, I was recording the show, so I heard my shout-out last week. You were thankful for everything, you guys. I appreciate you guys. I miss you guys so much. But I'm up and running a little bit, and I'm ready to roll. 3 weeks in a row, I don't know what to do with myself. And now that Daniel Jones hurt his hamstring, I'm like, please get a shot in it so we can just keep going because I don't really know what's going on with Colt McCoy. But listen, the defense was balling. The defense is balling. Like, the defense is us right now. We're going back to those old Giants doing our thing. Like, I can't even take it. Like, that last play of the game, it was just insane. Evan Engram still makes me want to smash my head against the wall. I'm not even going to talk to him about him right now because I don't know what to do with him right now. He's so dynamic, and then he's trash. How are you both? You know, just be one or the other. Be consistently dynamic or consistently trash, and I think I will accept that a little bit more. But I can't take both. But I'm just so happy where we are, the culture of where we are. One game at a time, guys. That's all I'm saying. One game at a time. That's all I'm saying. But I'm so proud of us, just the fight in us, and just everything we're doing right now. The culture is just a beautiful thing. I'm just so excited to be a Giants fan.
Yeah, you heard Tess reference Daniel Jones. So the MRI, reportedly, he'll get today on that hamstring.
That's not good.
And again, the report, was it... Jordan Renan, that it sounds like it's pretty bad, but Joe Judge after the game did say he's optimistic that he would be available for next week's game, and their next four are going to be tough. As we know, this could be the closest they get. We never know. But Daniel Jones has played well. Three straight games without a turnover, three straight wins. I mean, do the math. It makes perfect sense that he's starting to play better, and they're winning.
I never left the station with him. I just said I was off the train sitting on the bench. You know what I mean? But now I'm very afraid. Like, we have a chance to maybe do something, make some noise. And guess what I'm saying? Alan, you know who my two guys are forever. Eli and LeBron.
Yes.
Now I just hope people even extra appreciate Eli never getting injured, and we always could depend on him, because now we want to depend on Daniel Jones. And look, no, listen, I know he didn't do that on purpose, but I'm just saying how durable Eli was for 15, 16 years. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the type of stuff that I don't think people appreciate until now Eli's gone. I wonder like that. Now we're all sitting here, all the Giants fans rocking back and forth, nervous as heck. Like, we all nervous. Like, oh my God, we can't even beat Seattle with Colt McCoy. Like, are you kidding me? So I'm just afraid. I'm just going to pray for the best and just be happy with what we got right now, because that might be it right now.
Yeah,
I appreciate you, Tess.
Yeah, you look at what's happening, man.
You think about
Daniel Jones. You think about where he grabbed his hamstring. He grabbed it high. If it's high, that's kind of where you want it, because if it's low, it moves up before it actually moves out. So it's closer to his glute.
Well, if it's low, something snapped and it rolled down.
Right.
That's my experience.
So that's what.
Usually when it snaps, it ends up being a calcium deposit back of your knee.
That's not
a good thing.
Yeah, you're hoping that, you know, it's going to be at least 3 to 4 weeks. You know, so if they're going to get there, they're going to earn it. That's the thing, right? You know, you look at a team, you say they don't deserve to go to the playoffs because they're in a bad division, they have a bad record. But if they're going to get to the playoffs, they're going to have to get there as a team, because to get there, they have to either, one, beat Seattle, beat Arizona, beat Cleveland, beat the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, that's a tough four games here.
So if they beat them, they're deserving of going to the playoffs, because what they've done before isn't deserving of going to the playoffs. But if they beat a playoff team to get in the playoffs, then they're deserving of getting into the playoffs. Understanding, too, that every one of those teams that they're going to be playing, usually sometimes a bad team can sneak up on a good team, because a good team has everything that they want. They're already in the playoffs. They got their spot locked up. Baltimore is going to have to win all the way up to week 16, right?
Yeah.
Cleveland's going to have to win all the way up to week 17 as well. Arizona's going to be fighting tooth and nail to week 17. Seattle's going to be fighting to week 17, because they have to try and get positioning, because in their division, they lost to the Cardinals.
Yeah, they want that division, right?
Right, and they got to try and get that division as well, because they want people to have to travel out west with those elements. So if the Giants get into the postseason, it's going to be because they earned it and they beat a playoff team, and they're deserving of being one, no matter what the early schedule indicates. Now, understand that we got to kind of still pump the brakes a little bit. Understand that they did beat the Cincinnati Bengals without Joe Burrow, but at this point, you don't have to apologize for any wins on your record. You just say, hey, we found the way to get it done. We got to play better, because we put that same performance that we put out against Cincinnati, we put that out against Seattle. You know, that's going to be an L. But you got to say, hey, man, this defense is playing well. They're starting to figure it out. You got to tip your cap to Joe Judge, because he has these guys playing at a high level. Now, if they lose all four in a row, and then, you know, come in week 17 and lose to Dallas, we take all that back. We reserve the right.
800-919-3776. Let's get some more calls going here on the Giants. James in Rutherford. Go ahead, James.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Bart and Han. Great weekend for the G-men. Just wanted to say, you know, Bart, you're really getting better on the ad reads and everything. Really appreciate that. But real quick, guys, thank God we have super fans like Tessa. You know, instead of super fans like Ira from Staten Island. That guy is a complete bozo.
He's a Jets fan. Leave him alone. He's been through a lot.
Yeah,
we love him.
Every show has him on. They keep saying they're going to win every week. It's like, why are we having this guy on? Ira from Staten Island. Of course he thinks the Jets are going to play well. They stink. But I digress. Should the Giants keep going with Colt McCoy? Or should we look elsewhere? I know we talked about team wins. Maybe we can get somebody else. Maybe we can get a Kaepernick, perhaps.
At this point, with five weeks to go? How are they going to learn the offense? It's no way that you can bring anybody from the outside. You kind of got what you got, unless somebody's floating around there that knows your system inside and out. And if he knows your system inside and out, then he should have been your backup to begin with. So, listen, at this point, it's all hands on deck. You got what you got. It's not going to be anybody that's going to come and save anybody. It's nobody that's going to be picking up an acquisition. You know, maybe a defensive player that gets cut. Now, interesting, when I watched Green Bay yesterday, and of course they always beat the hell out of the Bears, and the Bears have lost five straight. But it's a player that's available that I feel that can make Green Bay a bigger contender than what they already are. We see Lazard. We know that Adams is a beast. You know, and sneaky good is Mercedes Lewis, because he's basically like having another left tackle that sneaks out every now and again and kills you with like a 5-yard out in the red zone. You look at Kenny Stills and the Texans parted ways, decided to part ways because he wasn't up and he was, you know, a healthy scratch. If you get a guy that's a deep threat like that to stretch the field for Aaron Rodgers, that makes him more potent and more dangerous, and that's a way to make Aaron Rodgers feel good. They wanted Will Fuller, but Kenny Stills is just like Will Fuller. He's just not as good.
Well, he's just like him, but not as good. What does that mean?
Well, he's alternate universe, right? Like we said before, Brandon Jacobs was a worse version of Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry's a better version of Brandon Jacobs. Both was able to dominate at spurts, but
Derrick Henry though he epitomizes what the Titans want to do, which exactly. is wear you down until the end of the game, where you're screaming uncle. Like the Titans are becoming that team. Like, I can't wait to talk to Rex about this, because like we'll have Rex on at noon like we always do on Monday, and that game for him, that's a game. I imagine for you too. We even talked about it on Wednesday. Our last show was Wednesday before the holiday. It was one of our Blitzer prevent games. Yeah. We thought that would be a great physical battle.
Yeah, it was.
And the Colts got run over in that game. And it was all Derrick Henry, and they're becoming that team as well to keep an eye on. But, man, they wear you down. But it's, like I said, a lot to get to in this weekend of games, including games that weren't played, games that keep getting postponed. We'll keep an eye out for Daniel Jones and the MRI and any results there. But that's obviously a huge part of now the Giants going forward, is because regardless of how this season ends, if Daniel Jones continues to, if he can keep playing, and that's a big if because we don't know, but if he can at least continue to play and finish out the season, whether or not they can win this division and make the playoffs, which still would be a miracle if you look at the schedule now that's remaining, it still, for me, is trending up for this franchise. It's still, to me, you're looking at Joe Judge as somebody who's very much in charge and has got this thing heading in the right direction, especially at the quarterback position. And they're going to get healthier next year. They'll get better next year because they can add talent. And the Giants are trending up. But obviously, we have to go in the other direction as well, Bart. And we will get into the Jets and what we saw yesterday, including Adam Gase just reaching that point now of where it's either he's being completely rebellious or he's completely clueless. It's one or the other. But it's just not looking good for him, no doubt about it. Let's take some more calls here, though. 800-919-3776 on the Giants. James in Spring Valley. What's up, James?
Alan. Alan, or, Alan, thank you so much for the shout-out on Wednesday. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
Also, love the fact that, like, Tessa from North Cornwall, like, she's great with the big blue, just like I am. And, you know, and Alan, it's okay to jump on the Giants bandwagon, because we don't want you to suffer with the Jets anymore, man. We don't want that for you. You deserve better.
No, I need to suffer. The pain lets me know that I'm alive.
I digress. That being said, the Giants obviously are playing well, and it's fantastic. It's they're 4-7, even though it's a bad record. But we lost Daniel Jones, and I have a 2-part question. Number one, how can the Giants win going forward with Colt McCoy? Number two, has the Giants kind of figured out that if Daniel Jones really is the guy for the future? So it's kind of a 2-part question.
I think Joe Judge understands and sees the talent. It's just all about making sure that if he doesn't turn the ball over, and it correlates directly into wins. We know that he's an athletic player. That's why he hurt his hamstring, because as it gets colder and you sit on the sideline, you go out there, you try and run and get to top speed, those hamstrings have to make sure that they're all warmed up with the Tiger Balm. Me, I used to put the back plasties on the back. It was like a patch that you put on that kept your hamstrings hot with medication the entire time, because you get to top speed, stop starting. You know, we see this in baseball.
Pasties? Is that what you're saying?
Pacey patches. Front
it's
and
like
back.
Icy hot. You put the icy hot on your lower back, and you put it on your lower back, and it's like, did you just get a tat on your lower back? No, it's nice.
That's the crazy thing, right? Because, like, you know, what his strength is, and that's just his inexperience, understanding that when it's cold like that, what you have to do, you know, to stay hot. He may even have to go over there and be like Dennis Rodman and be on a bike. Because if you're a running quarterback, if you stop and start, that's why we see this happen in baseball all the time. We see
that was an awkward fall when he fell, like, when he went down, when he started to slide, it was kind of his foot got caught underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he took the step, it reminded me, when you look, when they did it in slow motion, it reminded me of when, remember when KD's Achilles popped?
Yep.
And you saw the calf, it like, kind of like, just,
rolled.
It just, like, shook for a minute.
Yeah.
His hamstring did the same thing, and that freaked me out. I was like, oh, that could be really bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he came back in for a little bit. I know he couldn't move.
He tried to throw.
Yeah, and he still actually made the throw.
So, yeah, so what I'm saying is, what is he if he doesn't have that RPO run?
Oh, you're right.
Right, because now that just makes him a sitting duck. So now does that mean that he stands in the pocket a little bit too long? And then now you talk about all those fumbles that he's had because he does have the ability to get out of the pocket to throw it, because you have to get outside of the tackle box to be able to throw it. So this can be a serious injury, you know, far more serious. And he says, you know, the caller said, hey, how do you win without, you know, with Colt McCoy? That's tough because you can't protect Colt McCoy. You have to have Colt McCoy air it out because they don't have a strong running game. So it has to be.
Gallman had a really good game, though. They could have run the ball.
The good thing is they're going to have to run the ball if they're going to go against Russell Wilson. But the problem is, are they going to be able to put up enough points to keep pace with that explosive offense? And we're going to see if Bradbury, we're going to see what he's made out of, because, you know, he's going to be going against, you know, arguably the most difficult matchup in all of football.
They added McKinney, too. Another interesting young player finally gets out there on the field as well. That defense is looking better and better. Look, there's a lot of positives about the Giants. There are. The concern now, of course, is Daniel. Just as things are heading in the right direction, and these next couple of weeks would be a great test, the litmus test. Okay, how good are they? Are they getting that much better? Can they compete in these games like they have really most of this season? They have competed, and then now they're starting to turn those, you know, competing against good teams into winning games that they're supposed to be winning, and now they're very much in it to win the division. But the injury comes at a terrible time, and we wait now, if you're a Giants fan, with bated breath to see what the results will be of this MRI and how long, if at all, Daniel Jones will miss and the impact it has on this season for him. But still, things are trending up for this team. There's no doubt about it. Meanwhile, the Jets side of things, it's you continue to see it plummet. And yet, if you're a Jets fan, you're numb to it. This is essentially winning by losing. But the problem is that not only is Adam Gase, you know that he is going down with the ship, but he's taking people down with him. And one of them is Sam Darnold. I'll tell you something that I realized yesterday while watching the Jets. Something that I never thought I would think or say about a player I couldn't wait for them to draft. That I was excited that they had the opportunity to draft. But I felt this thing yesterday, and it made me sick to my stomach as a Jets fan. Just another day as a Jets fan. We got a couple of birthday shout-outs, Bart.
We do.
First, you hit mute.
Yep.
First one I'll do here.
You do one
is,
I do.
Is Will sent us a tweet about Tavon, who's a dedicated listener, and it's his birthday today, and he asked us. So Tavon, your buddy Will, is a good man. It's a good friend. He asked good us friend. To give him a shout out. So, happy birthday, T.
Happy birthday.
It's not the only birthday today, though.
Yes, it's Sagittarius season.
You got to see
my wife of 16 years birthday.
Happy birthday, Star.
Happy birthday, Garnisha
LaStar
Laquacious Scott.
Now, are you gonna put on all the sexy today for her? You gonna make dinner?
Phrasing.
Like, what are you gonna do? Because I can tell by the pajama shirt you're wearing that you haven't even like gotten out of pajamas yet today. So you
what happened was I was going to work out, and then she was like, "Hey, can you take Bryce, my son, our youngest, to school?" And it just killed everything. So it kind of jacked me up because I was going to try and work out. So I got.
But you're going to say yes.
Of course, I have to say yes. I already did it. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to be her manservant, and I was going to have all. But I wanted to make sure. I went and got my buff on first. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I went and got my buff on, but now I couldn't get my buff on. So now I look like a deflated Roy Jones.
Man, just do your 100 push-ups.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to do 100 diamond. I'm gonna have to do 50 diamond push-ups and 50 wide, so I can get some some blood flow, and then go in there. And I was hoping to have the shirt off with a bow tie. Now I'm going to have to just cut the sleeves off because I don't want to show the midsection, because the midsection not ready yet.
No,
I still got COVID-10 on me.
You still got to get the girdle on. I understand.
Yeah. And it was Thanksgiving the other day, you know what I mean? So I got to wear the Spanx underneath there so I had that hourglass.
You had a good Thanksgiving? Everything was good?
It was good. You know, I slept because I did get up that
morning. Yeah, you were busy.
KJZ. Mm-hmm. So then I went to sleep. Then I woke up and then everything was done. It was good.
How was sweet potato pie?
She didn't make sweet potato pie.
See, after all that?
No, that's Mom Dukes. Really? Mom Dukes makes the sweet potato pie.
Still waiting for it.
Wifey makes, listen, Mom is always listening. Trust me. She going to get it to you.
That's
why
I said it. That's why I said it.
I might add a bonus to it because my godmother. Woo-hoo, yeah.
Oh?
She makes 7-Up pound cake.
Wait, what? Oh, I've heard of this.
Yes.
I've had this.
Yeah, but it's like a brick, man. It's like it's the most dense thing in the world. Like it's a pound cake,
yes.
But it weighs 10 pounds. And you try to figure out something so small weigh 10 pounds. Yeah, and what they do is they put 7-Up in it, so it has that lemony, zesty, bubbly.
Oh, it's insane!
Yeah,
yes, it's
man.
Super moist.
Yes.
Super moist with that little. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, Mom, if you're listening, mm-hmm. ask Odessa.
Okay.
Tell her me and Alan need freeze half of him and half of me. No mm-hmm. matter of fact, make two. Because they know
half because otherwise no, you
7-Up cake.
Be all over the place.
No, but the family gonna eat it and they're gonna be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh
probably.
My goodness.
Well my kids anyway, like it's like we bring something in the house, they see it.
Yeah.
Like I'll have like the first bite and I'll come back and like, oh let me get some of that. It's gone.
Whoopsies.
Yeah, that's how it
like
goes.
Like that, man. Appreciate the cake, dog. Really, I appreciate the cake. I appreciate having some.
I appreciate that my son. He's going to Blue Line right now, Delhi.
Nice.
And he just said, for the first time ever, because he's coming back from his workout, and he never does this. He just usually comes home with like you know the stuff in his face with a bagel from Blue Line. He just texts me, "You want anything from Blue Line?"
Oh, man. See, that
and now I just remembered that he's had my credit card since yesterday when he
right.
took.
And,
oh,
and it's,
man.
And it's, and it's
now that's why he asked me.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful thing because Christmas is coming, so he's trying to be on his best behavior because he's like, yo, what's up? I need a PS5. Yo, what up?
It's the Xbox that it's. Then I just keep. Santa's not going to be able to get it because it's nowhere. It's nowhere to be found.
You need an Xbox?
Can one fall off a truck?
Holler at me offline.
I'm about to talk about that down the road.
You want an Xbox?
We'll get into the Jets. We got a lot to get to. We got to talk about a fight this weekend that didn't count, but yet it still entertained me. The Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.
Yes.
We'll get into all that stuff too. We got your calls. We got Rex at noon. But right now, it is time for the Jets. No. We're supposed to do this at the end of the segment. Anthony, that's right, Anthony. I will not do it now because I know why we have to do it at the end of the segment. So, you know, first we'll talk Jets. That's what we're going to do. We'll grab some calls as well. So, Adam Gase is or is not
liar
calling
sorry.
Plays.
I'm sorry, right. Did I come up?
Oh. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If we could play this exchange between Rich Cimini, the best in the business, and Adam after the game, and then I want the BS translator after you hear this. Go ahead and play it, Anthony.
Adam, why did you take over the play calling?
I didn't take over. We did this. We've done the same thing the last four games.
We were watching Dowell for the whole game. He wasn't doing anything. He was just standing there.
He tells me it's not hard. This is not hard. We go through it. The drive before. Hey, these are the three plays. I do the third downs.
So what happens after the three plays when you have a series? Because we were watching one where Dowell was talking to Frank Pollock. He wasn't calling the plays.
They
part
are
of the
on
game.
Him.
I want to say that was the third.
Yeah, when we got down, then I was trying to do some of the 2 minutes.
Yeah. they were on
let's
him.
Go, let's go straight to the BS translator.
That was like piranhas. Give me the BS translator.
So this is it. So you bought the beer at 11 o'clock. I definitely bought the beer at 11 o'clock. So you bought the beer at 12 o'clock. Yeah, it was definitely now you know you're effed up, right? No. Because you said before you bought the beer at 11 o'clock. Now you're saying it's 12 o'clock. Which one is it? I don't know. And to quote the great Dave Chappelle when he was supposed to be the president and how he would react, you going to ask me this stuff in front of my family and everything? Sick of this.
This is absolutely like they are. This is when you know, like this is the time. Like when Isaiah Thomas was coaching the Knicks,
yes.
At the very end, when obviously when it was like, well, basically Dolan said, okay, you're going to have to coach this team because we can't keep firing and hiring new coaches. So you put this team together, you coach it, and he had him coach it, and of course they were bad as expected. And like you just knew the clock was ticking, right? and we just wouldn't let him get away with anything. Nothing. Everything he said, we would jump on him. And it was like, that's that moment where you just know somebody's on his way out. And they're just waiting for that time. Now, the question I'm going to ask you is why isn't it time now? We keep saying it, and my fear is that the worse this looks, now, again, nobody wants to see the Jets win at this point because Jacksonville keeps losing too. 0-16 is important. Strength of schedule-wise, the Jets, as I told you, still have the second toughest schedule left of any opponents, of anybody. Jacksonville, though, has the fourth toughest of any other team in the NFL. So it's not like the slimmest of margins. By the way, out of this list, the Patriots are considered the easiest opponent left on their schedule. The Patriots.
That's so, a good thing.
So anyway, fans want to know, why not fire him right now? Bart, why not?
Because if you fire him and Greg Williams coaches, he might mess around and win one.
His defense has been getting run, though.
Well, defense did great yesterday. Like listen, they got two turnovers, put the offense in position to score. They didn't score, but they got two turnovers, and they held Fitzmagic basically to 13 points. You know, they gave way, and I know they gave up a bunch of passing yards to Devontae Parker.
I mean, it's Brian Fitzpatrick. I mean,
yeah, but listen, they were 6-4 coming in. This was a team. This isn't
a team.
With
Tua Tagovailoa, though.
Right, but with Fitztragic, that's returning back to the scene of the crime, because that's a team that embarrassed you down in Miami, right? So, like, I think that, you know, listen, it's going to get uglier before it gets better. I don't want to mess this up. I want this team to keep playing horribly, so I don't want to fire Adam Gase. Listen, if we got to watch this crap, you got to watch it too, Adam.
I understand that, but everybody else is watching it, including prospective coaches, including Trevor Lawrence is watching this. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's the stuff that you have to worry about. Is your franchise continuing to be a laughingstock kind of franchise? That's bad for your brand.
But now,
go ahead.
They weren't the laughing stock 2 weeks behind Joe Flacco. And you understand that they're going to get an opportunity to have a lot of salary cap space. You know, a lot of the receivers, a lot of players that you see that's going to be on the Jets are playing for other teams. You like that Allen Robinson kid for Chicago? Looks like he's pretty damn frustrated with being there with those horrible quarterbacks, right? Guess what? He's available. Galladay, available. Juju Smith-Schuster, available.
But again, why are they coming here, though? Why would they want to come to the Jets?
Money.
If the team is embarrassing, though.
It's embarrassing now. It's not embarrassing when you think about the pieces that they can potentially add. It's not embarrassing, just like we see this with the Mets, right? The Mets are in a great position. Why? Because they have money in the middle of a pandemic. Just like a lot of football, basketball teams and baseball teams have lost money, so have football teams. But guess what? You're going to have more salary cap space. You have less money guaranteed to people than anybody else in the league. You don't owe nobody nothing. But you got a pocket full of money. So you get to go spend it and build it how you want to. And guess what? You have two first-round draft picks here if you're a coach. You got an opportunity to get a generational quarterback. If you're a coach that can get a generational quarterback and attach yourself to the quarterback that you want or keep the one that they have but then still have two first-round draft picks, that is a pretty damn sexy pick. Because guess what? If Joe Douglas wasn't here, guess who would be the number one executive up for all these jobs? Guess the name that we would hear. Outside of Lewis Riddick, even before Lewis Riddick, you would hear Joe Douglas. That's the name that you would hear for executive. You got him. Let him do his work. Because if you look at what he's done, Bryce Hall, you can say whatever you want. That kid competes. And he would have been a first-round draft pick. You got him in the fifth round. Yeah, you had to wait for him to get healthy. But who cares? You didn't want to use no trade off the tires this year anyway. He's going to be ready for next year. You got an opportunity to fill up this roster and get better quick. This is the same thing that Miami did. Miami's playing for a playoff game now, right? What did they do? They went out and found the quarterback this year, had a backup quarterback that was decent, and they went out and they got a lot of veteran players that have played well in this league. Mims is going to be a good player. Now, just imagine what Mims is going to be if you put him next to Allen Robinson and Zach Ertz.
I'm still, you're basing it on these players wanting I hope Joe Douglas has a strong enough resume and reputation around the league, especially among agents, that it won't be a you don't want to go there. That's where you know, good players, you take your money and your career then goes south. Like, that's not where you go to win anymore. Like, that's what I worry about. And look, let me add this part now. I'm watching this game and I'm watching Sam Darnold and I'm seeing all of the reactions to Sam. And I really can't help it. I've reached that point now. And after the game with him talking about how he's all, you know, he still believes in Adam, super confident in Adam. Stop it. I mean, you're doing that publicly.
They got the same agent, man. So, of course,
I understand. Right, exactly. He's got to publicly do that behind the scenes, whatever. But I never thought I'd reach the point where I look at him, I'm watching him, and I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? I don't believe in him anymore. This could be as good as it gets.
That's fair.
And I know my options allow me to feel that way, because if you get the number one pick, you come away with a guy who's generational. At the start of the season, Bart, you heard me. I was buying into your idea of trade the pick, you know, and build with Sam and give him weapons and all that stuff. But I'm watching a guy that I'm wondering, has he ever taken that next step where you really believe and say, wow, okay, I feel like this is the guy. I think Daniel Jones has shown me enough this year at times to make me say, I think there's something there. But Sam's got to stay on the field. I mean, again, it's 33 games out of 43 possible games. He's missed 10 games in 3 years. Yeah, his record is 11-22. And Adam, I know, the last 2 years, Adam's offense is the worst in the league. His red zone's the worst in the league. His third down's the worst in the league. Like, you know, like, so the offense could be all at fault here, but it's also the development. It's the availability, the durability, and the overall ability that I question. And that is making me now say, I'm ready to move on. And I never thought I'd say that about Sam Darnold. I watched him for 2 seasons at USC as a Jets fan and waited for the day. Said to myself, I wonder if they can ever be in position to get a quarterback like this, because this guy's got talent. But I see the same exact quarterback that I saw at USC. The YOLO throws, the over, you trying too hard, the not reading the pocket, not that he doesn't have that sense. He doesn't have that sixth sense of knowing there's someone about to destroy him in his blind side. Whatever it is, it drives me crazy, Bart. And it makes me wonder, did Adam Gase break him? Or has he never been built up to be the quarterback that the Jets needed him to be? I'm there now. And I never thought I'd be there.
Yeah. Well, he's really relatively a young quarterback. And I'm not saying young in age. I'm saying this is a guy that played linebacker. So he didn't play the position his whole life. So it's still a lot that he needs to learn. Like why he doesn't learn how to smoke the guys out. He don't do the small nuanced things, right? He doesn't change the pace. He doesn't go up to the line of scrimmage and hard count a lot. You think about, you know, how many times are you going to get caught with an A-gap blitz? Understand now, I know that's on the offensive line, but he should recognize it too. When you see a number.
3 years in. With all the studying he's been doing, 100%, he still doesn't come off to me as a guy who's in complete control of the offense. And is that the offense and the way he's being taught to him?
Right. Let me tell you something. Adam Gase offense comes off to me as I'm so smart. If I call it, it's going to work, run it. Where, same thing with Bruce Arians, right? If I call it, run it. It doesn't seem like, hey, I'm going to give you 2 plays. If this play doesn't work, go to this one. Get us in the best play, Sam, because we trust your football acumen. Uh-huh. He's still treated like a kid that's young that can't change plays. So I would wonder if that's the case. But listen, the thing is, it's not about what we think about Sam Darnold. It's about what everybody else thinks about Sam Darnold. And everybody thinks that Sam Darnold is just a guy that's not broken. He's a guy that's just in a bad situation, much like Josh Rosen. He hasn't had an opportunity to learn and be taught. So he's going to be, I think if you can't get a first for him from Jacksonville, I think you can get a second, which is a really high second from Jacksonville as well, if Jacksonville doesn't get the quarterback that they want.
Chicago's another team I'd watch, too.
And Chicago as well. And who knows if the Lions are willing to move off of Stafford, saying that, hey, he's really expensive. He costs a lot of money. Yeah. We're not ready to win right now. Let's go get Sam Darnold, and get him for a cheaper price for 2 years, and then trade Stafford maybe for a first-round draft pick to New England.
Rex a little extra spicy today, I thought. Like, you saw the way he came out of the game. And I never like to lead locals or even Jets with him. But he went right at it. Like, I didn't even get to ask him a question, and he already was like, let's talk about the Jets. And then he unloaded on that team.
I mean, he has an affinity for it, and he,
of course,
that Daniel Jones is his son. So, you know, he has rooting interest in both New York teams. And he understands the fan base and how tortured they've been and how badly they want a championship. So he understands all that. So, you know, he takes it a bit personal, you know what I mean? And
a bit.
You know, what he said, I mean, what he said wasn't wrong, you know, but,
no.
You know, it is what it is, and, you know, it's not good. But it could get better, you know.
I still wonder, and I asked you, then I asked him, it's what is the attraction? when you've lost as much as this franchise has lost and you're starting to become associated with losing and hopelessness and a fan base that has been through everything, and you know, it's New York, so you're dealing with the media aspect of it as well. You don't have your own building. But like, all that stuff, to me, just factors in, and it makes you wonder, are there players out there with all the money they have to spend that would say, oh, I'm going there? Like, you need to, like, you, whoever the next head coach is, has to be somebody that everybody's like, all right, that's a great hire. And it gets people excited again, because you need to make Trevor Lawrence say, with and I know Joe Burrow went through this with Cincinnati, but still, you want Trevor Lawrence to not have any hesitation at all about whether or not he doesn't want to pull an Eli Manning. And you don't want free agents to say, I'm only going to sign there if you pay me twice as much as anybody else, because I don't want to go there and have my career just completely get lost.
Well, one, I think the market's going to be really, really suppressed, so that even if they do spend top of the market money is not going to what it's traditionally been. And also, like, if you're a young coach and you go out and you're a coach, you have a ball of clay that you get to mold. You know, how often do we see guys come in and they have to inherit a quarterback? They got to inherit a roster that has a bunch of stars that you may not even like for your system that you got to try and make work because you got to pay them money. You started with C.J. Mosley. And that's it. That's the only person that paid. And Crowder. That's the only person that make money on this team. C.J. Mosley and Crowder. Everybody else can go. Fant can go. Like, you know, all three of the guys on the inside, they were basically 1-year deals. Can go. So you basically can bring, if you got guys from other teams that you feel are essential to being part of your team or part of your roster, if you're a current NFL coach, you can go get them. Because guess what? It ain't nobody that's there that's going to stop them or hold them from being able to win the spot. And then you
still
talk
a lot
about,
of building
talk,
to do.
It's a lot of building. It's a lot of building to do, but you got a left tackle and potentially a quarterback. Those are some hell of a building blocks. And you have a receiver. That's only three building blocks, I understand, but you got one at every spot that you need. And guess what? There's going to be plenty of running backs available, like Phillip Lindsay out in Denver, that if you want a little spicy nugget to go with P. Ryan to kind of be the guy, and you don't have to pay him a bunch of money, you can bring a guy like Phillip Lindsay in. You know that Joe Douglas has a relationship with Zach Ertz because he was with him in Philadelphia.
That's a huge
Philly
name.
Pay him.
Huge
right.
name.
And he's only 29 years old. Mm-hmm. But he's right at the right age where you want. I came here at 28.
But that's what makes a young quarterback, though. That's your security blanket.
Right. And so you have one on the outside. You have a security blanket with Zach Ertz. And you have money when there are going to be five. When do you ever hear five great receivers that's going to be available?
Yeah, you're right.
You got
somebody's got to take the money,
You got Chris Godwin, right? You got Galladay. You got Allen Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster. Mm-hmm. Like, I forgot the other one that you had. You got Keenan Allen. So now you got your young receiver. Now you can go get your old receiver. Not your old receiver, but your receiver that's at that part where the mind and body meets is usually at 27, maybe at 28, 29. You got those receivers out there. And then you have a crap load of picks for the next 2 years. What else do you want if you're a coach and they give you a 6-year contract and they say, hey, man, you got 3 years to turn it around? You starting off, you attaching your wagon to somebody, to a quarterback that's not been damaged, that hasn't been taught bad habits from another coach. You can teach them exactly the way that you want them to. So it's perfect. It's a perfect scenario. You can go out and have everything that you want. And by the way, you got a brand new facility that's less than a decade old to work in, that has every top of the nine thing that you would want.
You're selling, baby. I'll give you credit. You're selling. Samini said this about Alex Lewis. There was some stuff going on with him. Speaking of different players on the Jets that are disgruntled, he was benched yesterday in what was called a non-injury team decision.
Who's that?
He talked to him. Rich said he talked to him, and that he said there's no issue at all, and asked if he expects to play this week. He said, I'm shooting for it. Still Alex Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
So apparently there was some issues, though, with him and Adam Gase,
good.
Though.
Nah, he's good. It's nothing to do with that.
That's been reported, that he and Gase had a little dust up.
He's good, man.
Okay, yeah, so you give us the insight there, so everything's all right there.
Yeah. I know more than what Rich knows.
I'm just like, all right, good. Well, that's what we need to get. You cleared it up for us.
I don't think it's nothing to do with Gase. It's, you know.
All right. Well, real quick here, let's do some audio files.
The audio file.
Okay, so let's begin speaking of Adam Gase and any issues. And I mentioned this earlier, but let's hear it from him. Sam Darnold, after the game, in a game where he did not perform well coming back from injury, the offense did not perform well at all with only 3 points. And then the media basically saw that Adam Gase had taken over play calling, even though he tried to deny it at first. But Sam afterwards said that he has faith in his coach.
I'm super confident in Adam, and you know the way he coaches us players got to be better. And me personally, I got to play better.
So, Barty, you said they have the same agent, so he's got to say the right things. But the kid just keeps putting it on himself, which I think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But if I'm the coach, you can't. You're making this guy look bad. You're making him look like a bad quarterback, and you're not doing him any favors.
And, yeah, what Sam needs to realize, if he keeps putting it on himself, it's going to be written in his obituary about why he's no longer the Jets quarterback, because he's self-reported. So you better find somebody else to start blaming outside of himself or figure it out, or it's going to be his last. It's going to be his last words.
All right. Meanwhile, we're still waiting to hear the MRI results on Daniel Jones's hamstring, and for the Giants, who have won 3 in a row and now sit in first place in the division, which is hard to believe, but it is true. Still, they've got a tough row now ahead at Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, and at Baltimore over the next 4 weeks. Logan Ryan said, well, if Daniel Jones is not available, the defense is ready.
Daniel goes out with, midway through the third quarter. Do you guys look around on defense and say, it's up to us to kind of hold on to this now?
We always feel like it's up to us. It didn't matter. I mean, I wish the best for Daniel. I hope it all comes back clean. But defensively, good defenses travel. We got to pack it up on the road and set the tone. It doesn't matter what the offense is doing. We got to get it done on defense. And a lot of us are on defense on that. A lot of us are on kickoff, on that kickoff return. A lot of defensive players are on there. So that's on us to make it up. And we're just trying to hunt the ball, play good defense. We're able to get it out in the second half and really hold on to that one.
The offense could be very limited if Colt McCoy ends up being the starter. They don't really have a backup. They'll have to go out and find somebody to be their backup quarterback, because they just have a practice squad guy, and that's about it. So if Daniel Jones is not available, the Giants are going to have to figure out their quarterback situation and also probably be a lot more conservative with their offense in this very difficult now stretch of games for them. All right, so everybody's talked about this. What happened with the Denver Broncos yesterday, which is, we've never seen something like this in the NFL. Yeah, so there are three eligible quarterbacks, is Drew Locke, Brett Rippon, and Blake Bortles. All of them were considered high-risk COVID-19 because of close contact with... Who was it? One of their players who had COVID. So they couldn't play. We're not available. They've tried everything. So instead, the league wouldn't let them do anything. They wouldn't let them have a practice, a coach sign. They couldn't do anything. So they had to go with Kendall Hinton, who's a practice squad receiver, and they made him the starting quarterback, which he hadn't done since college. So he had to do it. But Philip Lindsay actually took the opening snap of the game. The running back went straight wildcat. It was ugly. They had more interceptions than they did completions. In fact, they only had one completion. And it was just an embarrassing game. It was an absolute blowout. They just hand the game to the Saints. And afterwards, Vic Fangio, not happy, but not about the league as much as his quarterbacks and how they handled or didn't handle the COVID protocols.
Well, I was disappointed on a couple levels in that our quarterbacks put us in this position. Our quarterbacks put the league in that position. We count on them to be the leaders of the team and leaders of the offense, and those guys made a mistake, and that is disappointing. Obviously, I haven't done a good enough job of selling the protocols to them, when they're on their own. So, part of that could fall on me there.
What do you think there, Bart? I mean, it's, some players aren't taking it as serious. You see the league is fining teams and even taking draft picks away. But this is something where if you're a player... The league, we're starting to see it become an impact. It's impacting teams. The Ravens haven't practiced since last week. They're supposed to play Tuesday night against the Steelers. And they haven't even practiced yet because of this.
And they just had another person. Test positive, I think.
Yeah, Willie today's Sneed. Practice was canceled again.
Yeah, Willie Snead. So, I think that, even though that they want to say that they were negligent, and even, with the Ravens, if it was the strength coach was negligent, I think the players, it's weird because in the Ravens, it wasn't the players, it was an administrator or a coach. And the Broncos, it sounds like it was a player, so because it was the players, they didn't give the team a pass. but they gave the Ravens a pass. They should have just added a week 18 because I think it's going to be more teams that aren't going to be able to play. So by the time we get to week 18, I think you'll be able to have at least 10 teams that needs to play a makeup game. You know, and you don't want playoff seeding and stuff to be determined with an unfair advantage unless somebody was super negligent.
It's going to be.
Like we saw with the Raiders when they had people at an event and they didn't have masks on and they had an event with people that was from the team and wasn't from the team. I don't know how this Raven thing is going to even work out, man.
Do you think we're going to see? Are we going to see Tuesday Night Football, or do you think no?
I don't know how, because if people keep testing positive, how do you know that the person that he was with didn't test positive? So Willie Snead was around. We got to do contact tracing for who Willie Snead was around. At what point do we figure out where it stops? We saw this happen with the Tennessee Titans early in the year, and it just continued to go and go and go, and it ended up touching like a fourth of their squad.
Look. If there is no Tuesday night, this is, again, the example of the league. This is, you know, some people are wondering, can the NFL even finish the season?
Let's get a little extra money in your pocket.
Cheese and sour cream on the taco.
This is Lunch Money.
All right, let's try to make some money. I had a split this week. Tough one. It's, you know, if you're over 500, though, I would think it's kind of like, I'd trust somebody who's under 500. Bart's over 500, so I don't trust him. Let's put our team together tonight. So just so you know, Seahawks, Eagles. Seahawks are laying 6.5. The over-under is 48.5, last I checked, ESPN Daily Lines. And, of course, a lot of questions with Jalen Hurts taking snaps with the starters this week, at least reportedly, that perhaps there could be a change in the game, and that could have an impact. And, in fact, as we were putting our daily fantasy team together, Anthony decided, well, let's throw Jalen Hurts in there.
Really?
Yeah, why not? Just throw him in there. Let's take a shot. And
bit of misery. Dilly dilly.
Yeah, J-Dub's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Because if he doesn't play at all, that's a zero. We can't afford that. So instead, we'll go Russell Wilson as our MVP. DK Metcalf as well. Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders, and Will Disley. And there you go. That's our team. Kind of like this one. So we go forward with that. Oh, yeah. Anthony's going to play both because he wants to prove himself.
Right. Prove that he's right.
He wants to prove he's right. So, Bart, with just about 2.5 minutes to go here, as you mentioned, Ravens Steelers tomorrow. The Shefty's saying that another canceled practice for the Ravens. There could be snow in the forecast in Pittsburgh as well Tuesday morning for them to travel there. So, I mean, it's just almost like, you know, the football gods are like, yeah, we're not going to play this game. So
exactly. Like, just push it to week 18, man. Let them play on Thursday against the Cowboys. Uh-huh. Move that game back. And then, you know, you can do something different. Move it to week 18. Like, sometimes the NFL thinks that, you know, nature and pandemics are supposed to perform around their schedule. It don't work that way.
Speaking of the pandemic, this came out early this morning. CNBC had it first, and now other networks have picked it up. So Moderna has a vaccine showing 100% effectiveness.
I thought it had to be at least 98%.
Against severe COVID. Severe. It's still about 94% overall.
Okay.
But they are asking now the FDA for emergency clearance, and they are hoping to get this thing rocking. That's basically a third one now. So.
Yeah, I mean, the more you have, the more distribution we can get. So that'd be perfect.
So hopefully, again, as we keep waiting the light at the end of the tunnel here and
we still ain't figured out who's the president, man. So we're still dealing with that. We got to figure out the logistics of how to get it distributed. Like, it's great to have three, but if we can't get them to people, then you know, what's going on? What the hell is going on?
I can't even start making jokes about that one either. I could easily just start going into the voice, but I won't do it because I don't want to upset people.
We got to wrap it up.
Yeah, I understand we got to wrap it up. So we have football right now. The only thing happening, but Bart, guess what? Tomorrow.
What's tomorrow?
NBA training camps start happening. Yeah. Now there's some protocols.
Obi-Wan.
There's some protocols. You're not going to get full 5-on-5 action yet. You still got to, because they have to keep the numbers limited until everybody clears a bit of the quarantine and everything else. So, but at least the ball will be bouncing again in the gym where it has a Knicks logo because the Knicks haven't played basketball in months.
But this is the thing. Much like the COVID testing, does some of these teams go out and buy the vaccine themselves to get it first? I know it's unfair, but
the NBA is going to
go out and spend money to go get it. It's that way the league can go and they won't have to worry about it because everybody's vaccinated.
Look, watching what the NFL's going through, the NBA certainly wants to be able to play through the season. All right, Bart, great job.
Fans.
See you tomorrow.
Fans.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.